Lights go off. What's happening? What's going on up there, Jeff? You know what you're doing up there? Did you forget how to run the sound on the light, Jeff? He's dropping his head out of sight up there. Can we put our hands together for all the sound people tonight? They are amazing. They are amazing. Excellent message there from Pastor Ryan. It's going to help me tonight. Just a couple things before I do that. Water baptism will be a week from this Sunday. If you have never been water baptized, you need to make that decision. That is a part of God's life for you and I. And I want to help you with that. So next Thursday night, I'm going to be teaching on it again. And then the following Sunday, we'll do it right here in the 10 a.m. service. And it's always just an incredible time. I've seen, in that moment of baptism with people, I've seen God do some incredible things. I've seen him heal people. I've seen him set some people free. Anytime you obey God, great things will happen in your life. I should get a better woohoo than that tonight. Come on. That is good. Okay, so, and then in 2 weeks from tonight, Miss Amy Vineyard will speak. 3 weeks from tonight, we will have Chuck and Helen Todd here from World Missions Alliance. If you've ever wondered about missions, this is the organization that we travel with, the church does. They're incredible people. And I want each of you to take a moment in your life and pray for what God would have you do in the area of missions. You know, I've talked to people all the time, and I hear many times, well, that's for somebody else, that's not for me. And I always used to say that, and until the Lord really, he just literally kicked me out of the nest one time, and I went, and now it's a regular part of my life. And it'll be an incredible night with the two of them, and I want you to pray about that. I want you to pray, and I want you to make sure that you schedule yourself to be here on that night. Let me tell you what the Great Commission, Matthew 28, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mount where Jesus had told them to go, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go, and make disciples." It's like the old record player got hung up on a needle there. "Make disciples of all nations." Here, this is for a week from this Sunday. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I command you, and I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so I want you to pray. What God, maybe somebody's in here tonight that you're one of those people who said, that's just not me, I'm not going to go. Maybe God will work something in your life and change that, and you'll go on a trip of a lifetime. So that's 3 weeks. 4 weeks, Hector Santos will be with us. 5 weeks, Pastor Aaron Martin will be speaking. I could keep on going. I just was writing these down. I thought, it's so just so exciting, the Thursday nights. And remember, as Brad said, our small groups are incredible. And I want to tell you, I've been this week, Monday night, Tuesday morning. Tuesday night, I was a grandpa and went to a basketball game in Warsaw, came back, went through St. Anthony's, then went to another basketball game for another granddaughters at Notre Dame. Wednesday at the men's group, and Chuck Vendetti did such an incredible job leading that men's Bible study last night. Just incredible. And this morning, noontime, Brad, I'm here tonight. Find a group that fits for you. Susie is part of one on Tuesday nights at St. Anthony's. I can't remember them all right now, so if I don't say your name, it's not because I'm leaving you. It's just because I'm getting older and I can't remember, okay? So very important. Then I want you to also insert in your calendar every Wednesday from 11 to noon, St. Anthony's is open for prayer. You can come in for 5 or 10 minutes. You can come in for the whole time. It's one of the most refreshing moments of my week. Okay, I want to just talk to you. I just have a few minutes. I wanted to talk to you about victory in affliction. I've been speaking the last few weeks coming out of a tough place, and I just want to sow this in you tonight. And really, Pastor Ryan said most of it. So, Lord, use this, I pray, in Jesus' name. A.W. Tozer, one of the incredible pioneer in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody that I learned from because he was the one that began the Christian Missionary Alliance Church that I got saved in. He said, it is doubtful, and I've never liked this quote, but I've always remembered it, is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has wounded him deeply. Nobody wants to hear that. Stay with me. Because the pain of life will either conform you into the image of Christ or it will have a deforming effect on you. And the choice is completely up to you and I, how we will accept these challenges in our life. We can allow life's pain to control us and drive us from him, or we can stand in the midst of it and say, God, I know you're with me. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you. Because one person, and I've been made very much aware of this just this week, dealing with a particular individual that's just broken my heart. One person in affliction will either glorify God or that same person will turn their back and curse God and say, you were never there. And each of us have the opportunity and will be afforded that opportunity to face a level of pain in our lives. Pain is inevitable, but the victory that God has for you and I is a process that is personal and that is optional. And it depends completely on you and I. And it's difficult sometimes to go through these challenges and just to think, God, where are you? Are you there? I mean, I've said this to God. Where in the world did you, have you taken a vacation? Where are you? But in the midst of it, you can find incredible strength to sustain you, to heal you, and to move you into the next place that he wants you to go. And how can you face a difficult situation and still think that God is in it? Listen to David's testimony and his test. And he uses the word affliction in this scripture in Psalm 119, verse 67. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Did you connect and wrap your arms around that? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. Verse 71 says, this is David. He said, it was good for me to be afflicted so I may learn your decrees or learn your word. I know I don't like it any more than you do, but I'm just trying to help us all. Because here's the line that keeps you and I from bitterness. It's the word of God. It's the plan of God. He says in verse 92 and 93, he says, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Isn't that beautiful? He said, before I was afflicted, I did whatever I want. I went my own way. I acted the way I wanted to. I'm going to do it my way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to just move on in the direction. But then David said when he was afflicted, he found the precepts, understood the word, the principles, the power, the passion, his destiny with God. And he says, now I obey your word. Your word becomes a light in my affliction that it even helped me to learn the Word of God better. I'm going to tell you something. I thought of moments over my life where I didn't know how I was going to move forward. And I would read the Word of God. There are Psalms that I would read day and night. I would read them multiple times a day. I would read promises of God multiple times a day. And I'm going to tell you something. I had every reason to pull the plug and just say, forget it. This is not worth it. But I discovered by taking the Word into my life and reading it and letting God take care of the afflictions that I was facing, that He delivered me out of them all. This is so incredible. David said, unless I delighted in your word. It was his word in my affliction brought me to my knees. And it can be self-inflicted sometimes. Not always. But we live in a fallen world. And we go through challenges. But pain is not an option. But misery is. This is incredible. Because God wants to speak to you and I in the moments and in the midst of our pain. And David said that the only way that I could have survived this was through the Word of God. The only way. And he says, I delighted in your word. When I place, I'm speaking to you tonight to help you. Those of you that are, I hope you're watching, you're listening at home. When I place my confidence in the security measures of the Word of God and fully immerse myself in it. That means that Word becomes such a part of me. And I loved how Brad was saying it tonight about the class that we were in today, because our mind wants to wander and go down those narrow pathways that we're used to walking in or living in. You know, he was talking about giving, and in my household it was the same thing. We didn't have nothing. And to grow up and to trust God through that, the only way you can do it is not reading it one time, but you got to read it over and over, and it has to become a part of your life where you're talking about it, you're saying it, and you're speaking it, you're confessing it over your life on a regular basis. And it influences you to live and to wrap your life in the middle of the affliction around the promise of God to help you through it to become what God has intended you to be. And it's the Word of God that begins to test, hear this, the independent thoughts of our lives. And we all have them. But when we get and become afflicted, then the Word of God, see, it brings us to this point. It's going to be either my way or it's going to be God's way. And the Word of God tests that in us. What will we do? It when we bring it to our lives, when we bring this Word over our lives, challenges us and it changes us, and it's not always easy. When you hear Brad talking about changing his mind and changing his thinking, that wasn't easy. It's never easy. Maybe that's not what it is for you. Maybe it's reading your Bible. Maybe it's learning to pray. Maybe it's getting along with your spouse and your family or somebody in your household or even in the church. It's not always easy. But if it's in the Word of God, it's always right. And God will always bless it. He'll always bless it. He'll stand behind it. I was young and now I'm a little older, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. I'm going to tell you something. When you do what He tells you to do, when you wrap your arms around His precepts and His principles, life changes. God told Isaiah in Isaiah 48:10, He said, Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Isn't it interesting that we come to God in those moments of, in those depths of affliction? Just pause and think about it. Just think about that. You come closer to him during those times. I don't like it, but I don't like the affliction. I like to know that God is there to help me when I am afflicted. I don't necessarily like the idea that I am so stubborn and so headstrong that I have to wait until I face a challenge. I got to wait until the state trooper pulls me over to drive the speed limit. Why don't I drive the speed limit before I get pulled over? I will refrain from further comments on that. Amen. But someone here today, you may be the person that you've gone your own way. You've drifted from the purposes and the plans of God. And you might be going through an element of affliction. It's not to harm you. It's to bring you down to your knees and say, God, I remember this old preacher one time. He used to tell me all the time. He says, until they bend their knee before the Lord, you didn't think I was going to get up off my knee that easy, did you? Well, this morning in the gym, 100 pull-ups, 80 sit-ups with a 20-pound medicine ball over my head, 60 squats, 40 calories on a rower that I didn't finish, Brad did, and then 20 push presses, Brad did, with a 70-pound thing. And praise the Lord. How about an amen for that, Jim Booty? So in the middle of your affliction, God speaks to you. I said this old preacher used to tell me, until they bend their knee. And my brothers and my sisters, hear it tonight. Until you bend your knee, nothing great takes place in your life. Let his word be your delight. Let me end with these three things. Number one, embrace in the middle. The victory in affliction comes when I embrace what God can do. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that beautiful? Embrace what he can do. Number two, commit yourself to the plan that God has for you. Quit saying what you're going to do. Start saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, I started off coming up here tonight talking about missions, and I've had so many people just say, well, you know, that's just not me. Well, I'm never going to do that. My wife has told me that, and I'm here to tell everybody tonight, you are going on a missions trip. With or without me. That was not a missions trip. No, it was not. It was not a missions trip. Stop arguing with me while I'm preaching, woman. Commit yourself to the plan that God has for you. Even if you feel, don't just use him to get out of it and then lay it all down again. Have you ever known anybody, maybe you're here tonight, that has just used God to get you out of the affliction and then just go back to your own way, and then just a little bit down the road, you're right back in it again because your way didn't work. And God brought you to a place to make a decision, and you made one just, you wanted that get out of adversity card. Get out of jail card. You just get me out of here and then let me go and do what I want. That's not the life that God has called you and I to. Commit yourself to his plan. Stay the course. Believe that God has something great in your life. Psalm 35, his anger lasts for a moment. His favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping goes on all night, but joy comes in the morning. I love that. And then last, number three, serve the Lord. serve the Lord. We heard these testimonies last night at the men's meeting. Ryan said one time, and I don't even know if he remembers telling me. He just said it. We were talking. He said, you know what, Dad? When people serve, they stay. If you don't serve the Lord in some capacity, if you don't use what he's given you in some capacity, life just gets crusty. And serve the Lord. It's the best way to stay connected to the purpose and the destiny for your life. And when you serve the Lord, you discover things in your destiny you never thought were there. Oh, come on, give me a better amen than that tonight. Isaiah, last verse of Scripture, 60, verse 1 through 5. I love this. Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. I'm speaking this over your lives tonight. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you. Everybody say, God, rise up on me. Come on, just say, God, rise on me. The Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You know what that means when it says nations will come to your light? I thought about that. I pondered that a little bit. I don't know if Cuba will ever come to my light here in Batavia, New York, but I've been to Cuba, and I'm thinking about this so much because of what's happening in that small little country, 90 miles off the coast of Miami, that I've been there two times. I took the light into that place, into that little nation. I have taken the light to Ireland. I have taken the light to France. I have taken the light to Kenya. I have taken the light to Ethiopia. I have taken the light to the Republic of Georgia. I have taken the light to Armenia. I have taken the light to Indonesia, to Bali, Indonesia. I've taken the light. And countless nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assembled and come to you, your sons from afar. Your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you, to the riches of the nations again will come. Don't you give up. Don't you stop serving the Lord. God has incredible victory for you and I right in the middle of a pandemic, right in the middle of a loss, right in the middle of pain, hurt. He has got victory for you and I. Don't you stop. Press in, serve the Lord, and watch him reveal himself to you in a great and in a mighty way. Come on, give God a great praise tonight in his house. Come on, you can give him a better praise than that, can't you?
Let's stand before we close. I heard this old song when Dad said, when you serve, you stay. I heard this old song, and I want to sing it over you. Sarah, you won't have a clue what it is, but it's okay. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Do you know it? Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Is that your prayer tonight? Lift your hand and tell the Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Come on, lift your hand if that's your prayer. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take these hands, Lord, and my feet. Come on, just move your feet just a little bit. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Now just take your hand and lay it right on your head. Father, in Jesus' name, for everyone who prayed that prayer tonight, I'd pray that you would use them beyond their expectations, beyond their dreams, beyond anything that they could ask or think. According to your word, Father, that you'd pour it out over them. Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoration. Father, we even thank you for affliction that brings us, drives us, and draws us closer to you. We thank you tonight, God, for the power of your word that sanctifies, that washes, that touches, that ministers. We thank you for it in this place. Be glorified, be honored. Let great joy be poured out over each one here and those that are at home watching tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. What a sweet spirit tonight in this place.